Well, it doesn't seem that long ago that I was in ninth grade, although it was a long time ago. Ninth grade, I'd moved from Topeka, Kansas to Yukon, Oklahoma, and I was getting to meet people from my new school, and we were in off-season basketball, and there was a guy named Roger, and Roger was this kind of bowed-up guy. I was a couple years behind him. I didn't know what muscles were at that point. Still don't. And Roger was a big guy, and Roger had kind of long hair, and we were in off-season. I remember a couple days later, we were having our picture, and Roger came to school, and he had a buzz cut. His hair was completely shaved off. And we were standing for a picture, and I'm standing right behind Roger, and he's standing right here, and I go, "Hey, Roger, nice hair." And Roger turned around, and he squared up on me like this. And he took his fist and went, poof, hit me right in the chest as hard as he could. I was like, "Thank you, Roger." I mean, it hit me so hard. I was like, whoa, knocked the breath out of me. And I was thinking about this for this week because we're talking about taming tongues and we're talking about what we say. And I want to tell you something. Words that we say to each other matter. And with Roger, he popped me so hard that I guess what? The next time that I had something to say, I wasn't going to say something that made fun of Roger. Okay, and I'm not necessarily recommending that's your best move, but I'll tell you, it changed my course of action. And what I hope happens today is that when you hear the scripture today and you hear God's word that we're going to talk about, you're going to go, "Hey, that pops me enough where it kind of changes my direction." Because I'm listening to what God's word says, and I want to be someone who handles myself differently in my junior high school or sixth grade of elementary school. So I started thinking about, I want you to think about this last week. Think about your interactions with people, the things you said to people. Think about what you said. And then I want you to think, if you had a recorder, back in the day when I was growing up, this is what a recorder looked like. Something, you know, high tech like that. Okay, what goes in that is what's called a cassette tape. Okay, some of y'all don't know about cassette tapes, but you put a tape in and you could hit record and it would record that way. And so I want you to think about if you had a recorder with you this last week, just something, just say your phone or whatever, be more, you know, today's times. You're recording what you said. Would we hear a lot of things that were life-giving to people or were they life-taking from people? I want you to think about that. Life-giving would be things that we're going to talk about we hope are true of your words. Life-taking would be a different situation. I want you to think just for a minute. Take a moment. Think back conversations where maybe times you were mean to somebody. Maybe times you called somebody something that probably wasn't very kind. Maybe you talked like people on your team or your group or because you wanted them to like you. And so you talked like them. And even though you probably knew, hey, that wasn't the best words to be coming out of my mouth. So I want you to think a little bit about that. And as you're thinking, I want to propose this question. Let's throw this question up here. What if junior high students all over Dallas moved away from hurtful words and moved to words of healing? From hurtful to healing. If you asked your leaders in here, the leaders that are in here, they said, "Hey, what do you remember? Do you ever remember anybody in junior high saying something cruel to you and that it hurt you?" Okay, I think many of them would say yes, including me. Okay, I can remember people saying something. I was like, well, I can still remember some hurtful words back in the day. So I want you to think about that. Were there any hurtful words for you? And I would tell you that your words do matter. There's an old saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. But I don't believe that's true for one minute. I think words do hurt and words matter. Okay? And so what I'm going to challenge you with today, we're going to look at some scripture, and I'm going to challenge you to think about what you say. Look at Proverbs 12:18 here. The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Okay? If this sword here that we have, okay, if you were this week, as you thought back to the words you said this week to people, maybe your words were kind of like you're walking down the hall just kind of throwing a sword around, okay, and cutting people and hurting people. And, it says the the words of the reckless pierced like swords, and you were reckless this week. And maybe you've been reckless a lot of your time in junior high so far. Those of you who have been in there for just, and so you would say, man, my words are more like the sword. And then it says, what I love about this verse, the scripture is so visual. It gives us such a good picture of that. Let's see if I can get this. There you go. So the other thing it says, the tongue of the wise brings healing. For some of us, your words this week hopefully were healing to people. They were like medicine to wounds that need to get healing given to them. And I wonder if your words, you remember when you were young and you would scrape a knee or something, maybe you'd put some kind of medicine, Neosporin or hydrogen peroxide or whatever, anything that didn't sting, right? That's what you wanted. And you'd put that on, you put a Band-Aid over it, and you'd try to bring healing to that. And I would tell you that I think the words of the wise, like the scripture says, would be more like a first aid kit to people. Because do you think there's people in your junior high and in your sixth grade right now who are wounded by other people's words? I think there are. And you may be one of them. And so we want to be people who bring life to people and don't take life. And so I'm going to give you four things to think about this morning. If you're taking notes on your phone or in your journal, this will be good for you to write down. But here's what I'd say. If you want to be someone who has a spirit-led way with words, then this is the four things I'd tell you. The first thing, you ought to think before you speak. You go, okay, well, what does that mean? I need to think about what I'm going to say. Yes, because I want you to hear something. The scripture in James 1:19, look at this verse. Says this, know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear and slow to speak and slow to anger. And so if you're like me, the times I get in trouble with my speech or my words are when I respond quickly. Someone says something to me and I want to jab right back at them with some strong words. And if I would listen to this verse, if I'd be quick to hear and slower to speak, that might keep me from moving into anger. So I want you to think about the times when you are reckless with your words, when they're piercing like swords. Many times it's because you've responded quickly, or you're angry, or you're just tired and irritable. Anybody ever feel that way? I do. And my family, I will tell you, there are times when I have to ask my sons or my wife's forgiveness because my words were quick. It was a quick response, and it wasn't kind. So I want you to think about reckless words. I just wrote some words down here that you might say that are reckless, that take life. Words like jerk, or he's a dork, or he's a nerd, or he's fat, or she's ugly, or you're talking about he's slow, he's awkward, she's so mean, whatever. If those are words that you said this week, you know, if you were talking, and a lot of times when we say those things, we say it behind people's backs. We don't say it to them. We say it to others about them. Those are words that pierce like swords. Those are not words that bring healing. And those are reckless. And as followers of Christ, I know that everyone in this room maybe has a relationship with Jesus. And we'd love to talk with you about that at the end. If you don't know what it means, if you don't know what God did for you by sending his son Jesus to die on the cross for you, and that he wants to offer that salvation to you because of his son, we'd love to talk to you about it. But if you are claiming to be a follower of Christ, This is a strong word for you today. The second thing is this. After you think before you speak, you got to build others up instead of tearing them down. I do think the language of junior high is to cut on each other all the time. And so I'd ask you, what keeps you from being an encouragement to others? Does anybody have any ideas? What keeps you from being an encouragement? Yeah. Yes, did you hear that? She said, the fact that other people don't encourage me, that keeps me from wanting to encourage others. That's a great answer. I think that's certainly one of them. I think there's several things that can happen. Yes, she's right. It's not happening in junior high. People don't encourage each other. And what I would tell you is, as a follower of Christ, the scripture calls you to be alien and stranger-like. You ought to look different as a follower of Christ. And I'm going to tell you, being someone who is an encourager could be an incredibly salty, light-filled thing where people would go, man, I took notice of that. You were kind when others weren't. You served others. Your words were not like everybody else's. This is a real great opportunity for you. Ephesians 5, which I don't have in the deal, I would just tell you, Ephesians 5 says, do not live as unwise, but live as wise and make the most of every opportunity, for the days are evil. So if you build others up instead of tearing them down, look at Ephesians 4:29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Let me stop there for just a minute. This is another opportunity. When you read unwholesome talk, you probably think of cussing or dirty jokes or anything in that kind of realm. And what I would tell you is I think this scripture does speak to that, but I think it speaks to more than that. But let me address that first. If you're on some team or you're hanging with friends or you're doing that and you claim to be a follower of Christ, I think it's a safe bet that if you're cussing and people hear that, they're not going to go, oh man, you must really love Jesus. When you cuss like that, it just really pointed me to Christ. I don't think anybody's going to say that. Okay, what happens is many of us talk like that because we're trying to fit in with the people around us and we don't want to be strange or alien. We don't want to stand out for Christ. And so we talk like that. And so I would encourage you that you ought to think about others with that, and you ought to say, man, I have an opportunity here again to speak differently. And the words that you choose really can impact others. Then look what it says. But only you should only speak what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. See, if you're going to be this kind of person, it's almost like you're going to have to say that life isn't about me. That's what the scripture calls you to, by the way. Philippians 2 says, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but let each of you regard one another as more important than yourself. That's what a follower of Christ looks like. And so this is one of them. You can do this where you say, I'm going to build others up according to their needs. Do you think there's people with needs around you that could use? This young lady said it great. She said, they don't encourage me, so it's hard for me to want to encourage them. There are people all around you at school every day who need to be encouraged, who would love to be encouraged by you. And the problem is, here's what I'll give you another visual. We have our phones. It's like our phones are always reverse camera and they're on us. And all we think about is us. And that instead of flipping the camera out and saying, hey, what about them? What if I was a person who wanted to encourage others according to their needs and I cared about what benefited them instead of me? I think the other reason we don't encourage is because we're so self-consumed. We can't get our eyes off of our phone, our selfie going, look at me all day long. And there's opportunity around you to do more. Hey, what would healing words look like? So I think about things, if you were kind, if you would say things like, man, you're a great athlete. You're a good friend. You're really smart. I wish I was as smart a student as you are. I thank you for being my friend. Anything like that. And you guys go, man, that'd be so weird to say something nice to somebody. That's a problem. Okay, and so I'm going to really spur you guys. You have such an opportunity to be kind to others. But you might be asking yourself, how do I do that? How do I be that kind of person? Do I just kind of think about it all the time and hopefully be that kind of person? I would tell you the third thing is this. You need to store up good things. Look at Luke 6:45 and what it says. It says, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart, for the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Okay, so think about what you're storing up all week. Think about what you did. Now, you thought about what you said to people this last week. I wanted to think about, did you do anything this week that stored up good things? Maybe you went to small group. That's a great thing. Y'all talked about God's word. Maybe you spent some time praying this week with the Lord. Maybe you were in God's word and you were looking at it and you were saying, Lord, help me to be someone who lives out these things. But if you weren't, my guess is that all the messages going in your mind were things from social media, from your phone, from TV shows, from friends. Maybe that, and a lot of stuff was going in your mind and your heart, and not much good was going in there. You have to ask yourself, was anything good? Was I storing up anything good in my heart? And because here's the analogy I'll give you. There's a thing called the whole milk challenge. And the whole milk challenge is a deal where you have to drink a gallon of vitamin D milk. Okay? Vitamin D milk is really thick, almost cream-like milk, okay? And you have to try to drink a gallon of it in an hour without it coming back up, okay? And I'll just tell you that that's really hard to do because your stomach can only take so much lactose. And so people think, oh, I love milk. I can handle that. So they start drinking it. This guy was similar to that. We've done it in our staff before. We've had people on our staff that say, I think I could do it. And we'll say, hey, we'll put money that you can't. We'll just tell you, no one's ever done it kind of deal. And we'll have people. And about two-thirds of the way through, okay, you'll watch this guy's face. Or someone will be like, oh, man, I'm not feeling so good. And all of a sudden, we call the white dragon. It's a projectile. It looks a lot like that. But even worse, it is like it just comes up. So all this milk's going in and it's too much. And then all of a sudden, boom, it's out. And what I would tell you is if you're storing up stuff, if you're filling yourself with stuff that isn't good, that's what is going to come out. Because out of your heart, the mouth speaks. And so I want to challenge you as young men and young women who I hope want to follow Christ and want to walk with him, you have to store up those things. And so you don't want to be filling yourself with things that eventually you're going to spew out. Now, the same is true if you are putting good things in, that good things will come out. Okay? So I want to remind you of that, that you can't do this on your own. If you just try to be a good person, the scripture says in Romans 3, there's not one of us that's good. Okay, it's only because of Christ. I can tell you, the only thing good in me is Christ in me. It's the hope of glory. That's what his word says. The last thing is this. The fourth thing. I would ask you, if you really do believe these things, that you would pray for opportunities. You'd pray for opportunities for you to be salt and light. You'd pray for opportunities for you to be someone who gives life. Not someone who pierces with a sword, but someone who brings healing to others because your words are kind. And you'd pray. And here's what I'll tell you. If you pray this, be ready, because I believe the Lord will answer. I think the Lord will give you opportunities and you'll know it. You'll go, there's my opportunity to be kind to that person. And I don't want to do it because I'm so caught up in myself. But the Lord is beginning to give me opportunities. And here's what else you need to pray. Pray for the opportunity and then pray for the courage and the strength and the selflessness to do it. To encourage others. Would you be that kind of person this week? Pray for those opportunities. Hey, as I think about you guys, you know, there's probably close to 100 people in this room. Okay, if you guys, each of you, if you said this week, here's my challenge to you. If we give you kind of the high five challenge, here's the five I'd like for you to do, is that you would say, I'm going to try to find 5 people this week, one per day, that I would go and that I'd be an encouragement to. I'm going to say something kind to 5 different people this week. And you think about that, if there are 100 in this room, that'd be 500 people that would be encouraged this week in Dallas. Okay, we had 200 at the first wake. And I thought, man, that's 1,000 people that could be impacted by that. I really believe this. If we'll begin to be those kind of people, I think people will want to know more about your walk with Jesus. I think people will be going like, hey, no one encourages me. Why would you do that? Because I love the Lord and I want to encourage you. And so would you be that kind of person this week? The other people that you might need to be an encouragement to or might need to have some different words that are life-giving is your family. Your family this week, you might say, man, I'm going to work hard to be not kind to my brother or my sister. I want my words to build them up according to their needs. It might be that you need to be kind, more kind to your parents. It might be that you ought to try to be kind to them. You go, well, they're not always kind to me. What I would tell you is the Lord would call you to be kind. Okay? And then you hope the same would be true for them. But I think, and here's the last thing I would tell you, is that one of the things you also might want to do this week is if you look back this last week as I challenge you to do, and you thought through the things that you said, there might be some people that you need to go to and say, hey, will you forgive me for what I said to you this last week? I wasn't kind. Will you forgive me? And that could be one of the greatest ways you could point somebody to Christ is by humbling yourself and saying, hey, I was wrong. Will you forgive me? Our words matter, everybody. They really do. the words that we say really can give life or they can take life. So let me remind you of these things one more time. If you want to be someone who has a way with your words, that understands that words matter, and want to have influence here for Christ, you want to point people to Jesus, think before you speak. Man, this week, as you want to respond quickly, just slow a little bit. Ask the Lord to. And then remember this, the word says that a harsh answer stirs up wrath. A soft answer turns it away. Okay? Second one, build up others instead of tearing them down. That time this week when you're getting ready to say something that is going to be mean to somebody or cruel, just stop and say, what could I say that's the opposite of that? How could I encourage somebody? The next thing, store up good things. If you're a person that says, man, I don't ever spend time in God's word. I don't ever pray. I don't do those things. Maybe do a little bit this week. Go from 0 to 20 miles per hour on that. Okay, you don't have to go to 100 miles an hour or whatever. Man, just start. Start this week. Ask the Lord. Say, Lord, I want to store up good things, and I want to be kind to you. I want to walk in your spirit. And then last thing, if you really mean it, and I'm not sure you do, but I hope you do. I hope you'll be encouraged to do this by the Spirit, is you'll go, man, Lord, would you bring opportunities for me this week to be kind to people? Would you bring opportunities for me not to tear others down, but to build them up? Not to pierce like swords, but to bring healing. Let me pray for you guys. Father, we're thankful that we get to know you. We're thankful that on our own, we can't do this, so it makes us want to have a deeper relationship with you. We know your word says, apart from you, we have no good thing, and apart from you, we can do nothing. And so, Lord, would you change us? Would you help us to give words of encouragement? Would you help us to slow down? We want to react in a way that's mean or angry. Would you help us to store up good things? And Lord, would you bring opportunities our way this week to encourage and love others by the Spirit that's in us? In Jesus' name, amen.